Fez, back in the saddle. So, in the second reading of Parshas Chukas, Miriam dies. And the stoutness of Miriam brings him out an immediate reaction, immediate result. You read in chapter 20, verse 2, the Torah tells us immediately after that Thomas Shon Miriam, but the cover Shon Miriam passes and she's buried there. The Torah says, there was no water for the congregation. Mm-hmm. So they congregate against Moshe and Aaron, and we're doing what we do best, we kvetch. We're unhappy. We don't like the situation. And so when the people come and they kvetch, they why just kvetch? The people argue with Moshe. And they say, if only we had died, if only we had died, the way our brothers died. Why did you bring us? Lama hevesim is kal Hashem. Why did you bring the congregation of God, El Amidbar Hazeh, into this terrible desert? Lama sham, so that we might die there. Anachnu uvi'irenu, suddenly we're worried about Amorites too. So that even our animals are going to die. Everybody's going to die of thirst, and it's all because you brought us here. Why did you take us out of Egypt altogether? To bring us to this evil place. It's a place where nothing grows. And then we emphasize the concept of figs, of grapes, and pomegranates. And there is no water to drink. So Moshe and Aaron, when all else fails, they go to the El Moed, and thankfully, the presence of Hashem appears to the Jewish people. So why does it say that they came to argue with Moshe and Aaron? After all, really what happened here, it says, that you call the Moshe of Al Aaron. He started up with Moshe and Aaron. And then it says, then it says they only argued with Moshe. So they congregated against Moshe and Aaron, but they, in turn, seem to be arguing only against Moshe. So the Torah says, Al Shneihem Nikohalu, they gathered against both. Ach Iker Ameriva, the real fight was with Moshe. They blamed Moshe. And they said, if only we had died the way our brothers died. Which death are they referring to here? So according to the Psikta Zutusa, they speak about those who were scorched and sunken, people who died in a pestilence or the plague that followed the story of Korach. And that's what Parshas Chukas follows Parshas Korach. They said, if only we had died then. The Kli Yakar says, we're speaking here now at the Jewish people's immediate entrance there. It's a soul. This is like the very end of the journey. Who had stopped dying? Mesia HaMidbar had already stopped dying. The people who kvetched and complained that they wouldn't go to Eretz Yisrael and therefore have to die had already stopped dying. And as such, so from this point and onward, the rest of the people were supposed to go into the land. So the Kli Yakar says, they said, who needs this? If only we would have died the way our brothers died. The Mincha Belulah says that there was an element of the Eruvav. There was still traces of them left. And they said, if only we had died the way our brothers, the Egyptians, died at the crossing of the Red Sea, going back 40 years. So this is a very layered kvetching and complaining. And a very sad thing. The Kli Yakar interestingly points out that in his view, they were talking about those who died maybe even before the Chet HaMeraglim, not after the Chet HaMeraglim. And he said, at least those who died before the Chet HaMeraglim had a portion in the world to come. Rashi simply tells us that in this we can see that dying of thirst is really a horrific way of dying. And the Jewish people were facing what they thought would be imminent death, because upon the passing of Miriam, the well dried up, and they were really worried. They were concerned. What does God say to Moshe the Aaron? Vayidaber Hashem, going into the third reading, Vayidaber Hashem al Meisha Lemer, God says to Meisha, saying, Kachas Amata, I want you to take that staff. Vahakel Esa'edo, I want you to unite or congregate this the entire people. Ata v'aren aficha, you and Aaron, your brother. V'dibartem el hasela. Now I want you to speak to the rock. And I want you to do this le'enehem, before their very eyes. The nasa ne'emav, and it will give its water. V'itzeisa lahem mayim in hasela. You'll bring forth water from the rock. V'hishkisa esa'edo, then you will be able to provide abundant hydration for the nation, to give them to drink. There's Be'irim and their animals. And this is the water crisis that goes wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu is given very specific instructions. Speak to the rock. Let them see that you speak to the rock. And let them see when you speak, the rock will obey. But God said, take the staff. Why did he say take the staff? He said, take the staff, but don't use it. Vayikach Moshe Samata, he takes the staff of the rod, Melefnei Hashem, from before Hashem, Kasher Tzivo, and he gathers all the people together, and Moshe speaks in very harsh terms, and he says, Shumu no Hamedim, here, you rebellious people, Hamin Hashela Hazeh Netzelech Hamoyim, do you think water can come from this rock? And of course the people would say, no, it can't come from this rock. And here Moshe Rabbeinu makes a very faithful decision. God wanted the rock to be spoken to, so that the Jewish people would learn a lesson. They don't have to be beaten into submission. They simply follow instructions. It's true, in the beginning, they needed to be zetzed over the head. The first time around, Moshe had to hit the rock. But now, they should have learned the lessons of their sojourning in the desert. By this point, they should have been able to listen without any kind of threat, without being hit. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want the Jewish people to look bad. And so Moshe Rabbeinu instead is going to elect to strike the rock. There's much to be said about that. But in the end, this becomes a pretext for Moshe Rabbeinu's not entering the land of Eretz Yisrael. Now, if we take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, going back a couple of verses, so it says, in verse 1 it says that Miriam died. And verse 2 it says there was no water for the congregation. So clearly the Torah is linking the idea of Miriam's passing and v'lohol yamayim le'edah, as Rashi says, mikam, from the fact that the Torah clearly juxtaposes these events, and one follows immediately after the other, we can learn shekol arboim shono, that all 40 years hoyu lahem habe'er b'zchus Miriam, they had water, they had the well, only in the merit of Miriam. So the obvious question is, why was the well in the merit of Miriam? You see, in the end, it's Moshe Rabbeinu who's tasked with the responsibility of bringing forth water from the rock, providing hydration. Moshe is the Rebbe, and the Rebbe is supposed to provide everything. Why is it that when it came to hydration, that it came specifically through Miriam? And the Rebbe once explained that based on the Rambam's commentary on the idea of Eruv, of the concept of putting food in a certain place, so as to be Kein Shvisa, so as to create a foothold for Shabbos, that if you're going to be settling in a certain place for Shabbos, so this allows us certain leeway in being able to travel or to go a greater distance on Shabbos. Not huge distances, but an extension of the normative, what's called tchum, the scrimmage that limits our mobility on Shabbos. So you have to use food, and water can't be used. And the Rambam says that the reason that water can't be used is that food represents the idea of actual nutrients, but water represents the notion of that which helps the body to digest the nutrients. So if you have nutrients, but you don't have water, you'll have the ability to live, but you won't actually live because the nutrients won't get where they have to get. The body needs to be hydrated. In other words, the nutrients can only be absorbed into the body through the concept of hydration. And so, allegorically, the food of the neshama is Torah, and its water is the ability the Torah to reach all parts of the person. So it's good to have Torah. It's good to make sure that Torah gets where it has to get. And because of this, we see that Miriam was devoted specifically to the continuity of the Jewish people. It was Miriam's idea that it ensured that Amram and Yocheved would get together again. And it was Miriam's insistence, a little precocious 6-year-old girl, that brought about the next generation of Jewish people. And from this we could see that Miriam's efforts to ensure that Hashem's people would continue to proliferate and grow, things would, so to speak, flow into the next generation, was the idea of the water being able to move the nutrients forward. Not only you have what's necessary, but it reaches its proper place. At any rate, Miriam was the source of water all those years. The Jewish people only now appreciated what Miriam, one of the things that Miriam had done for them, as it is oftentimes with the passing of tzaddikim. Only later do we recognize how much we missed them and how much they provided for us. And the people now were very, very worried. In fact, they were driven, they were crazed by the notion of thirst. You're talking about millions of people. You're talking about a very real prospect of dying of thirst. So they create this complaint. And the complaint is what we're going to focus on for the rest of today. A very interesting complaint. They said, you took us into this desert, and here we're going to die. This is a doomed voyage. We're going nowhere. And so what? You took us out of Egypt. Egypt was a land that had plenty of hydration. Egypt was a land where lots of things grew. And you brought us to this bad place. A place where nothing grows. Okay, that's pretty good. You brought us to a place where things grow, to a place where things don't grow. In Mitzrayim, regardless of the situation, drought or not, things grew. As we have seen previously, that Mitzrayim, because of its system of irrigation, because of the Nile Delta, always, regardless of what happened in the rest of that region, it was always growing, there was always growth, there was always prosperity in the land of Mitzrayim. And the contrast of that with the desert, they weren't talking about Eretz Yisrael. They say, to contrast that with the desert, it says, you brought us here to this evil place, Loi Mekem Zera, it's not a place of seed, not a place of growth. And then they say, Ute'ena v'gefen v'rimen. Figs, grapes, and pomegranates. And of course, our kvetching was not about the scenery, or about the lack of fruit salad. What was the real issue? You don't have anything to drink. And they said, oh, right. And mayim ein lishtes, and there's no water. Now, had there been water to drink, but nothing growing, would they still have been kvetching? Why? Why? What brought about this kvetching? What made them come to Moshe and argue with him now? What caused this?
Miriam's death.
Miriam's death. Miriam's death, the aftermath of Miriam's death was?
No water.
No water. So it's not like before Miriam died there was pomegranates growing in the desert. It's not like they had grapes for lunch every day. The issue became they didn't have what to drink. So if they didn't have what to drink, so why did they say, Lama, why did you bring us Heli Salam Mitzrayim Lahavi Sama El Makema Razeh Asher Mayim Ein Lishtes? Instead, they give a whole song and dance, a business with Ein Zera, nothing grows here. And then they start talking about certain fruits, talking about Te'ena and Geffen and Lima. The whole complaint is like seems totally out of place. The issue here is thirst. That's the issue. So stay focused. Kvetch about the things you need to kvetch about. Why are you kvetching about things which are not relevant? If they're kvetching about pomegranates, they should have been kvetching yesterday and the day before. So there's got to be something else going on there. So you take a look at Rashi. And Rashi says that when they emphasize the notion of Mekoyim, it's not a Mekoyim Zera, they said. But he said, but rather, this is a place in which we have no pomegranates and no figs and no grapes. The amazing thing is, Rashi actually does not say one word. Doesn't talk about this. This is such an implicit issue where the kvetching and complaining is not what they're looking for. And they're mentioning certain kinds of fruits. Garnished. Rashi doesn't say anything. As if everything makes perfect sense over here. This is what you would call a natural complaint. Alright, so the Rebbe has a very interesting take on this. And like many, many things. If you want to understand it, you have to study the Torah accumulatively, which means you can't only focus on what you're learning now. You have to remember the stories that happened before, and the explanations that were given previously, and then in view of all that, everything comes together and makes sense. So first off, When the Jewish people kvetched now and complained, what did they say? In verse 4, they said, why did you bring the desert? Why did you bring us into the desert to die? Okay, that's I guess, a valid complaint. They thought they're going to die, so they said, what did you bring us here to die for? Then in verse 5, they said, V'lama ha'elisunu mimitzrayim. Why did you take us out of Egypt? Well, what would the answer be? Why did you take us out of Egypt? Why did the Jewish people leave Egypt? Where were they going? The land of Israel. That's what God told them. You're going to get the Torah, then you go to the land of Israel. So he said, you took us out of Mitzrayim, but you didn't take us to the land of Israel. Instead, you took us, Lahavi Yisano. All you brought us to is Hamakim Ara Hazeh, the place, this evil place. This isn't the land of Israel. This isn't a promised land. This is a place of Leimukim Zera, nothing grows here. And there's no Taina, and no Geffen, and no Rimen. So when you think about Geffen, Taina, and Rimen, what do you think about immediately? What's
fruits
unique about
Israel.
These?
Huh? Fruits of Israel.
Fruits of Israel. Okay. So fruits of Israel are Geffen, Taina, and Rimen. What other fruits of Israel are there?
Dates.
Olives, Zeis Shemen, and Dvash. Dates. Honey, which is dates. So the nectar of the dates, which is referred to as Dvash, which refers to dates. And Zeis Shemen, the oil, which comes from olives. So if you're mentioning the land of Israel, if that's really what the veiled complaint is, took us out of Egypt, but you didn't bring us to the land of Israel. So now they're kvetching not only about the thirst, and now they're kvetching about the meraglim. We wanted to go, you didn't let us go. Why mention only three of those fruits? So the Rebbe says, you take a look here on page Chaf, and Simon Yudbeis, the Rebbe says like this. The reason that the Jewish people in their kvetching, in their complaining, in their arguing with Moshe, but they mentioned Dafke Peters Elu, these fruits only, namely the fig, the grape, and the pomegranate. Is Mishum because Shepeters Elu Lehoye Mitsuyim Bereshusim B'midbar. These things were not in hand during their sojourn in the desert. They said they emphasized Hamokim Hara Hazeh, this bad place. Loy mekayim zera. So zera refers to, I guess, eretz chito saira. Zera is seed. So that's a way to speak about wheat and barley. So this is loy mekayim zera. Loy mekayim, a place where there isn't te'ena gefen v'rimen. So the Rebbe suggests that the complaint has to be somewhat reasonable. They have to actually have to be complaining about something they don't have. And he suggests that Zayis, or Zeis Shemen, the olive, or the olive oil, and the Dvash, that the dates, they did have in the desert. How did they have it? Where do we see that from? All right, so first of all, when the land of Israel and its fruits are described, we don't say olives. We don't say Zeitin. What do we say? Zeit Shemen. We emphasize olive oil. Shivchish la Zayis. What makes the olive really unique, who b'shemen hamufak yimeno. Olive isn't such an amazing fruit in and of itself. The olive is an amazing fruit because of what you can produce from olives. The primary focus and purpose of olives, is olive oil. Now, tomato juice is just fine, but most people eat tomatoes just as tomatoes. They may also make tomato juice. Some people eat olives also, but olives are primarily for the purpose of oil. Hazayis atzme humar. The olive itself is bitter. Ve'inim ahava bitu l'shevach miyuchad. It does not become the paradigm for an amazing land. What's so amazing? They have lots of olives. All right. I'd rather strawberries. It's not so, you know, olives are such an amazing fruit. But zeis shemen, shemen zayis, that's an amazing thing, an amazing commodity. But shemen zayis they had. They had lots of Shemen Zayis. How do we know they had lots of Shemen Zayis? Because what they have to light? That they kindle a menorah. Ba'atat Shavas Bnei Yisrael, right? The Maim we learned last week. The Yikoy Lecha that should bring for you Shemen Zayis Zach. Bring for you olive oil. Kosis Lamoir. Crush for illumination. So they had to have an enormous amount of Shemen Zayis. The Menachas. The various meal offerings in the desert also required the concept of olive oil. There was lots of olive oil that were there in the desert.
Okay.
So you can't go ahead and say, we have no olive oil.
Yeah, you do.
You've had olive oil for 40 years. He said, well, we don't have any dates. Oh yeah, you did have dates. You can't complain that the desert is a place without dates, because right in the beginning of the Jewish people's journey, during another episode of fetching and complaining, for the purpose of thirst, they didn't have any thirst the first time around. What did Moshe Rabbeinu bring the Jewish people? It says, Vayavay Elima, they came to Elim. And what was there in Elim? Vesham Shtemes Ve'enes Mayim, there they had 12 springs of water, and Shivim Tmarim, and 70 date trees. So they already had dates in the desert. So you cannot say you brought us to this evil place where there's no dates. Yeah, there was. So that's not going to work either. Therefore, he mentioned the three things that they never got their hands on. No figs in the desert. No grapes. And finally, there was no pomegranates. You'll tell me there was nisachim, there was libations in the Beis HaMikdash, they had to have wine. And I will tell you that libations began only after they came to Eretz Yisrael, as we learned a few weeks ago. So there was no grapes, and there was no wine. Because there was no grapes and no wine, and because there was no pomegranates, and because there's no figs, here they felt an apt way to complain while we're kvetching, while we're talking about thirst. We can mention the fact that not only are we here to die in the desert, but you never brought us to Eretz Yisrael. Not acknowledging their misdeeds, but talking about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't somehow magically pull through and make their sins go away. And the basic message that, of course, we could all learn from this is, do not judge. Do not complain. Do not look for the things that are missing. Look for the things that Hashem gives us. Understand that often the things we don't have, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. And as long as we have faith in Hashem, and as long as we know that if He promises, everything works out, with God's help, we'll have goodness to share, and hopefully, very speedily, and in our days, make it to the land of Eretz Chito Sa'ira, and the land of Zeis Shemen, and the land of Dvash, along with the Te'ina, the Geffen, and the Liman.
That's surprisingly after the...